Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the fire.
Hi, and welcome to Brain Healthy with Jessica Aaronworth. I am Jessica Aaronworth. I'm so excited to have Jill Lampe join me in the studio today. Jill is no stranger to internet marketing, and she has worked in the field for over 20 years. And we are here to discuss the main things that wellness professionals are not doing right, and the five, actually six, there's a bonus question that Jill has prepped just for us, or I'd like to think it's just for us, and things that wellness professionals should be asking themselves to create their own profitable practice. There are questionnaires and worksheets for all of you that Jill has prepared at jilllampi.com/5Q, the number 5, the letter Q. Hi, Jill, how are you?
Hi, Jessica. Thanks for having me on the show. It's exciting.
Thanks so much for being here with me. It is exciting. I love doing these shows. So tell us a bit about yourself and your own journey in internet marketing.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Well, the internet has been a wonderful journey, I'm sure, for many of us. I discovered it myself back in the early 90s and got online because of university initially, using it for schoolwork and things like that. But very quickly, I realized that there was more potential for it, and especially when I got a job with an internet provider and started helping businesses with their internet then to get connected, how to use it, how to use the different tools. And that was in the mid-90s. And then as things progressed, I got deeper into it and helped businesses more as the technology progressed. And got into social media in 2012 when that was actually coined. So before that point, I was already doing blogging and helping people with videos and their email marketing and all sorts of ways to connect with this amazing amount of audience online. And just since the 1990s, I've been diving in really deep to figure out how to use the different tools to make business work better and to help people find their clients online and serve them and do great things.
And that's really cool, and it's really funny because I tried to shun the computer. It wasn't something that I understood. The net was not something I understood until I realized all the creative possibilities that take place through the internet and everything that you could do with it. And then I know for me, it just became so much easier, and over time it's become so much more intuitive, which also helps.
Yes, and the software has certainly advanced to the point where you don't have to have a lot of technical knowledge to be able to use them. You just have to be able to sit and breathe deeply while you click through the various small places to click through to get your job done. And the tools are much more affordable than they used to be. It used to cost, over $10,000 to even start to think about having a website. And now you can create your own website for free or for low cost if you want somebody to pay, you want to pay somebody for it. But of course, with the awesome technology also comes the challenge of choosing your technology and figuring out how to put it into action to bring success into your business.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, as you know, we have discussed this a little bit, you and I. I think as wellness professionals, there's so much out there that can help people build their own. What is out there, and how can we help, and how can, and I think wellness professionals in some respects are kind of a bit late to the party, in my humble opinion.
Actually, no. This is very leading edge stuff. I notice when I go outside of the Facebook groups and outside of the world that I'm on the internet, especially Facebook. When I talk to people in real life, this is completely foreign to them. Are starting to understand they understand the value of looking for a coach to help them make progress in what they want to make progress in life. We all kind of understand, you know, the basic therapy model of that, but people more and more.
We seem to be cut off from Jill. And I think what she's being saying is, you know, there's so much value. Jill, are you back?
I think so. You cut off for a little bit there too. So.
Okay.
Am I back now? Okay.
You are back.
Okay. Now I can't remember the question.
I think you were saying that we're not late. We're not really late to the party, although I think we're a bit behind, but there is so much unrealized potential in the world of marketing, especially marketing wellness professionals, that has not been tapped into yet.
Yes, definitely. There's a lot of people who have come on board and are wellness professionals online. So that's where perhaps people feel like they're behind and that they're behind the game, right? But truly successful people online, the ones that are really connecting with their target market, those are still actually pretty far, you know, far between. Not as many of them. Sorry, I'm trying to find the right wording for that. And part of it is because everyone is looking at everyone else, but not knowing who is truly successful and why. So they are modeling people that they think are successful but aren't actually successful, or they're modeling the wrong part of what somebody is doing. They're not finding success with it. So a lot of people are out there and have set up shop, but not a lot of people have actually figured out how to reach their market and get those people that really do need the help, because there's a lot of people that need help.
Yes, exactly. And I agree with that. There is such a need to learn how to do things the proper way. Because there's so, first of all, you don't know who the people you are following or modeling, you don't know how they're really doing. And I find sometimes, you know, you think someone's doing really, really well, but then you get behind their business and it's an empty facade. So you have to be very, very careful with who you are kind of following and emulating. But
yeah.
Then, yes, within all the strategies that are used, you only see the strategies that you're meant to see. And you don't see what's behind the scenes. And usually behind the scenes is where the real magic happens. That's where you get to, you know, hidden pages and advertisements and, you know, things for list building that you would not ever have imagined could be there.
Exactly. Yeah. So you go to their site, you go to their Facebook page, you look at their feed, you look at their blog post, and you go, hey, I'm doing the same thing. How come it's not working for me? How come when I go to webinars or put them up, few people come, or if they come, they don't respond to any of my questions. They don't interact. You know, how do I get all these things to work? And some of them are the fact that the Facebook ads that got people into your competitors' webinars are Facebook ads that you didn't see. And those were really compelling Facebook ads. And they went to a really compelling landing page that was clear and gave people a clear understanding of what they were going to be getting into with the webinar. So when they came to the webinar, they were already primed. They were already ready to go. And therefore, when it came time to engage, they were already excited. It's easy to engage at that point. It's easy to want to buy something or to book into somebody's calendar when the right buttons have been pushed, when these, and not even in a manipulative way, right? We're not trying to trick people. We are finding the people that need our product or service, speaking to them in a way that speaks to their heart and soul, and then giving them a place to get in contact with us so that we can continue the relationship.
Yeah, exactly. This is so exciting. I mean, this is one of my favorite topics ever. Well, I have lots of favorite topics, but I find it really exciting kind of uncovering all those hidden and missing pieces, because I spent a lot of years really struggling with that, trying to emulate, not really figuring out why it wasn't working or what I wanted or how all the pieces went together. There are so many moving pieces. I struggled with total overwhelm. How do I put it all together? I learned how to do an awful lot by myself, but sometimes it's not until you really get the help and learn those everything that goes on behind the scenes that things start coming together and falling together.
Yes, and in some cases too, depending on who you serve in your market, it doesn't make sense for you to have to learn all the stuff firsthand, because it does for me as a marketer. It makes sense for me to learn all the software and figure them all out, because I'm going to be helping multiple people answering those questions and helping them learn it. But if you're only learning it for yourself, then that's a lot of time you're spending exploring options and trying to figure out what works instead of then doing your business on top of it, right? Whereas marketing is my business. So the playing around makes sense for me, right?
Exactly. Jill, can I ask you just to move and shift your positioning a little bit? We're getting a bit of an echo from you.
Well, I've got a headset on, so I don't know how else to do anything. Maybe I'll try not to move as much.
But the fun behind the scenes techie stuff of live radio.
Indeed, yes.
So if you have any questions for either Jill or myself, please feel free to call in. You can reach us at 646-716-7979. So, Jill, you have put together six amazing questions that people should be asking themselves when they are setting up their practice.
Yes, yes. After talking to, a lot of different entrepreneurs, coaches and consultants, people who work one-on-one with their clients to help with real transitions, real transformations. I've spoken to a lot of them about the struggles that they've been having with their marketing. And a lot of things tend to boil down to a compellingness factor. So what I've discovered is that when I really thought about it, there were initially five, but then in talking to you, I actually found another question to add to the list. So six questions that someone can sit back and ask themselves in order to figure out how to market their service. So this isn't to say that you should change your service. Your coaching plan is what your coaching plan is, but the way you talk about it is the way you market it. And that's how you get people to get on the phone with you, to talk to you, to even consider buying your coaching plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the questions I came up with are all around how to make it so that it's really compelling for the person, for your target market, to talk to you. And then once you talk to them, how to use this as a path to get them to become a client, And from there, you can discover other issues or other things to talk about. So you're not restricting yourselves with these questions. You're just giving an initial thing to talk about to start the conversation.
So, right. Okay.
So the questions I came up with are pretty simple questions, really. And I do have them put into a bit of a workbook format available on my website so that you can download it, jilllampe.com/5Q, number 5Q. And it just, you can print it out and it gives you some room that you can do some brainstorming for this kind of stuff. So you can figure out yourself what is the angle that you use in your marketing to get people to talk to you so you can get them into your plans. So question number one is, does your product or service help them make more money or save money? So first of all, I'm just going to go through the questions and then we can go back to them and kind of go more deeply into some of them so that, because I know that when I ask some of these questions, immediately people will have thoughts come to their mind and I want to address those. But I'm just going to run through the questions quick first and then we can go back to them. Sound good? Okay.
That's perfect.
Excellent. So question number one, does your product or service help them make more money or does it help them save money? Question number two, does it help them save time, do something faster or more efficiently, those kind of things? Number three, does it make them appealing, more appealing by association, which means that if you're associated with me, somebody else thinks that you're cool, right? Number four, does it make them look good to others when they bring the information or the knowledge or the skill back? So if I gain this knowledge, will somebody else appreciate me more? And number five is, does it make them feel like they have inside access that their competitors lack, something that is really going to give them an advantage over their competitors? And then, as I was thinking about this interview, and especially for health and wellness coaches, I have one more question, but this one is for the really, truly brave. And you'll know as soon as when I ask the question. And that is, have they stared death in the face and they're given a second chance? If you can answer some of these questions about your coaching plan in the context of some of these questions, you'll begin to find really compelling topics, things that hit people in the gut, and those are the things that will make people talk to you. And that's the start of the selling relationship.
It's very cool. And I know that, you know, as a wellness professional, some of these questions are things that I have really struggled with over time. And sometimes it's I don't want to say easy, but it gets easy to dismiss any one of these questions saying, well, that doesn't relate back to me and that doesn't relate back to what I do. Which is why we're going to go over this and really relate it back to wellness professionals and how these questions really do relate to everything that we do. And the clearer you become with them and in them and with yourself and within yourself, the clearer your practice becomes and the clearer your communication with your clients become as well.
Exactly. So then question number one was easily one that health and wellness professionals could think to dismiss right away, right? Does my product or service help them make more money or help them save money? Usually the first portion of it is which that they'll reject because immediately they think, well, no, I'm helping them be healthier, live longer, have more energy, right? However, if you think about what they're able to do because they have lost the weight, because they have more energy, because they're eating better, they may have things, goals that they want to attain that they think it's their health and wellness that's holding them back. And as soon as they deal with some of those issues, they can go after these goals, which maybe it's a raise or a promotion. Maybe it's finding a new job entirely in a new career or in the same career. Maybe it's raising their prices and having the confidence because they've lost weight, because they know how to dress better, because they know how to present themselves, that they can raise their prices. So these are things that if you look at not just the short term of what they're getting, the energy, the lost weight, the looking better in their clothes, and think about the end result of what they'll use that for. That's where the true compelling nature of that can come out. So that's where if you download the workbook and you start to do the brainstorming, I suggest that you think about this new person. Once they've worked with you, what would they be able to do in their life that they couldn't have done before?
And I can really relate to that because, I think a lot, like probably way too much. And I was thinking about one of my clients while I was, getting ready this morning. And it was really interesting because a client who drinks a bit too much and smokes a bit too much, smokes all kinds of things a bit too much. And within putting their life back together and really wanting to be present in the world they are in and starting to understand how those habits are affecting their lives, their life, they're now starting to cut down on the drinking and the smoking and all those other negative habits that were very, very expensive to keep up. And I kind of sat there going, wow.
Cut off a bit. So I'm going to cut off too.
Habits are, far reaching. Shopping often becomes a coping strategy. People go out and buy things when they're not feeling well in order to get that little burst of energy or in order to cope. Going out for meals, wanting to be served or waited on, not eating properly. There's all sorts of ways people can save money within their lifestyles by becoming healthier.
And exactly.
I think at the same time for wellness professionals, a lot of the work that people do also helps increase self-esteem. And when your self-esteem is increased, well, what then starts happening? You get better jobs, you get raises, you get, a life that you really, truly love and want to be a part of. And all these things really relate back to that question, which I don't think we think about as enough as wellness professionals, because we're not in it for the money. We don't want the money. We want to help people. But the truth of the matter is, if you're not making money, you can't help people because you can't afford to stay in practice.
Yeah, and the truth is that people will pay money for what they value. So if you can position, and each of us is valuable, so if we can position what we have that is valuable in a way that communicates to the person that values it, then it's not even a big deal for them to pay it. They go, yes, please take my money and help me.
Yeah, exactly. And another great point. I hear from so many, therapists and that they don't have enough clients, that they're not making enough money, that they can hardly pay rent. And within all of this, this is why these questions become so, so important, because when you can become clear on exactly how you help people and you can express that, people then start going, oh, yeah, that's what I need.
Exactly.
I think when we keep things in reference to, I help with anxiety, I help with depression, I help with putting your life back together. Rarely, when I see websites from therapists, I see lots of people using those terms, which don't really speak to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Because what does it mean to be anxious? How does that show up in my life? How does that make my life harder? How does it keep me from my dreams? How does it help me sabotage my relationships? That's the important part. Not that I'm anxious. Yes, I'm anxious. But what is my anxiety doing to me that it creates a strong, compelling picture in my mind so that I know what I'm fixing? I know what the problem is. Anxiety feels like a fog. I can't really grab onto it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when someone says to me, are you anxious? Well, okay, yeah, everyone's anxious at some point. But the anxiety that gets me going is that anxiety that feels like my heart's going to explode out of my chest, where I can't eat and I can't sleep and nothing's ever going to get better and I can't see the sun through the fog. And
exactly.
When we think about it in terms of that and start painting that picture for clients, clients are more likely to go, wait, yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that I feel anxious, but I know that I can't sleep and I can't breathe and life just feels like it's closing in on me. And
yeah,
if someone
exactly.
can understand that, that's the person I want to go see. I don't want to go see the person that says they help with anxiety. I want to see the person who can help me feel like the world isn't closing in on me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that is the first step of marketing is for sure, is to capture on that resonance. And then the second stage is to lead them towards the thing that they want. And that's, both of them are equally challenging, but they go hand in hand. And once you figure out how to resonate with people and then show them the way, everything becomes beautiful.
Right.
So then question number two that I asked was about, do you help them save time? And that's another thing where I could see wellness professionals potentially having troubles, right? Because we're not productivity. You're not productivity professionals. You're not, somebody who's doing something for them. You can't do their fitness for them. You can't do their the time that it takes to, you know, put their mind into having healthy thoughts and a healthy body. But what you can do is help shortcut things for them. You've got a lot of knowledge. You can shortcut basic things like, menus. This is why people really love recipes, right? Recipes are always a great way to get people into your world and get them around you at least. They're not necessarily great ways to get people to book into your calendar to talk to you about your business, but they're a general familiarity. But that's why people really like them, because they help them save time. They give them a new thing to think about and something they can grab and just do right now without having to do the more research about it. So that kind of thing is, in some ways, there are things that you can do around that to bring people in who want to talk to you, helping them with their whole foods, right? What they're healthy foods, if they're used to living with a lot of processed foods and, for example, they just got married, or for example, they just got pregnant or just had a child. These are pivotal moments in their life where you could put something in front of them and say, hey, now is the time to make a shift with how you eat, and here's how you get started. And that will get them, you know, interested in looking at you going, yes, I need that. And that's what you want in their mind, right? Is that, yes, I need that kind of thing.
Definitely. And I think also in terms of that time piece, you know, if I'm feeling like crap, I want to cut down the amount of time I am feeling like crap, right?
Yes,
if I'm in, if I feel myself going in a downward spiral and I'm facing depression, I want to get rid of that as fast as possible. And if someone can show me the way, if someone can help me feel better faster, they've just bought me time.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, time is possibly not necessarily the best. Like, these questions are questions that I can ask any niche. Not just for wellness professionals, but there are certain questions that are obviously that apply more for different niches. So obviously, if I went, you know, right down to that last question, that was for the really brave. That is definitely for wellness professionals, brave ones, right? Have your prospects stared death in the face and were given a second chance? This is where some health and wellness professionals that I've been speaking to, and I asked them what their target market is. They talk about healthy people who want to lose a little bit of weight. And that is not a market that feels very compelled to do what they have to do. Whereas if you look at someone who had a medical scare, a real medical scare, whether it was theirs or somebody very close to them, and all of a sudden they're much more motivated to consider their health because they have a 3-year-old grandson and they want to see him turn 4. And it's become real in their brain that they might not. That is hugely compelling, but also it's really scary. So if you want to serve that market, that requires a certain amount of intestinal fortitude and bravery on your part, but very compelling.
Yeah.
So then,
I had someone come in and she knew life wasn't going the way she wanted it to, but it took her until she was put on blood pressure medication and asked to take her blood pressure daily to even think about getting help.
And really being serious and not just being serious one day and then not serious the next day, which is, you know, something we all face when we're not really serious about something.
Right. And I think it's important to really understand who your demographic is. More of a spiritual path and want to do their own self-growth and self-living. But the majority of people, from my experience, only seek out wellness professionals when they are in crisis. The bigger the crisis is, the faster and more they want to do to get rid of it.
Exactly.
So many times I have seen couples and it hasn't been until, you know, that day comes down and divorce is looming that they come in and get help.
Yep.
And, it's important to know that about people, that change itself is so scary for people to do. Looking within is so scary for most people to do that they will put it off and put it off until they cannot put it off anymore. And
yeah,
that is
exactly
when you see them in your office usually.
Yes, yes. Which requires a lot of strength and boundaries on your part. But those are the people that are the most motivated. And if you want to work with motivated people, people who will continue to come back, people who will stick around for long enough to make habit change, which, you know, most of us would like to have it happen overnight, but it's not going to. Those are
right.
Definitely people who, and there's lots of them out there. So the biggest thing about a lot of the challenges that we face in our life is that we don't want everybody in our life around us to know that we're having a struggle. Everybody wants to put on a little bit of a facade that everything's good, everything's fine. And depending on where you live, like I've lived in a a city that had just under a million people, but it still was too small for some of the professionals, for one thing, to want to get help locally, because the medical community was very small and they were afraid that it was going to get around that they were seeking help. So that those people go online and they find people that they can talk to online to get the help they need without the ego bashing or the, you know, feeling guilty or bad that someone in their local community is going to find out. This is where actually the question of does it make them look good to others when they bring the info or the knowledge or the skill back? When they come and they're behaving differently and they're changed and they're speaking differently and people perceive them differently, then that feels powerful. That feels good, right? So if you can find something where it's painful and they don't want to turn to their local people because they're perhaps embarrassed, and help them with that, that's very, very compelling online especially. So there are some things that are some business models and some dynamics that happen online that don't happen anywhere else. You want to take advantage of the ones, the online benefits.
Yeah, because online you still have your anonymity and there's still so much stigma around getting help.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
You know, it that's been one of my big frustrations. I remember one client who wouldn't walk into the office until 3 minutes after their session had started to make sure that they didn't bump into anyone in the office, and they would literally park as close to the door as they could, shield their face, and run into the office so no one could see them. There was so much emotion for them in terms of getting help or asking for help or being seen in that way. And people become very, very touchy around that, because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. And you want people, especially going back to the thing of not wanting to worry about money, right? Yes, we all want to get paid, and no, we don't want to be looked at as people that are money hungry and money grubbing and stuff. But at the same time, high-powered professionals who make a lot of money, they need help too. And they make money partially so that they can get that help when they need it, so that they can pay for it, and they have absolutely no problem paying for it.
It's so very, very true. Now, if you have any questions for either Jill or myself, please feel free to call in at 646-716-7979. Okay, so where are we now?
Well, we have one more question that I had. One more question out of the six. Actually, I want to go back to the one question where we're talking a little bit about how to make them. Does your product or service make them look good to others when they bring in the information or the knowledge or the skill? And some of these things are, again, things that will help them perform better in their job. You know, tying back into ways that will become tangible results so that you can help them see the tangible benefits of working with you, right? So performing better in their job because they have the knowledge or the skill. So let's say if somebody is they're looking to become a health coach themselves. A lot of coaches, when they start out, they view people who are in their niche as competitors and not necessarily as people who could still be their clients. I teach a fair number of people that are doing marketing for other people. They come to me to look at what I'm doing, and I go to other people to look at what they're doing, and we all learn from each other, but you can still have clients that are looking to become a health coach in the future, or looking to become to be where you are. So, and other things about, you know, they might be able to use things to impress their friends. This is more if you're like a magician's coach or something like that, right? I can't think of an exact word, exact thing for that. But one last thing in that is if you can help them become a better X, where X could be a better parent, a better wife, a better friend, those kind of things, if you can tie into those things, they're very, very compelling. And then, sorry.
And just to touch on that, you know, people love when they can help other people. People yeah. absolutely love that. So when people learn how to help themselves and they learn the different tools and strategies that are going to help them and help heal them, they are so thrilled to be able to share that with their friends and family a lot of the time. Yeah. You know, yeah. Sometimes people will not tell anyone about what they're doing or anything, but a lot of the time people will. And I know my clients come in and they're really excited. They're like, guess what? I showed so-and-so how to do this. And it's something that we had gone over in session. And they're so excited. And everyone's so thrilled to learn from them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just
exactly.
another way to think about it.
Yeah, for sure. And there's, especially with the way the technology and the world is right now, the internet didn't exist the way it is right now 5 years ago. Right. So the number of people that are coming online looking for help and realizing they can find help online is just staggering. I've seen some stats of how online coaching and stuff is growing, and there is absolutely no fear that there aren't enough clients for everybody. So the fact that somebody learns from you and then goes and teaches somebody else and you go, oh, no, that could have been my client. Don't worry. There's lots more.
And the truth of the matter is that there's a more of a probability of that other person coming back to you because they're so impressed with what they've learned. Referrals are your greatest source of income.
Yeah, exactly. And you want to get known as someone who can help in a very specific area. And again, it goes back to this, may touch on somebody's fear of not wanting to be pigeonholed, but remember, all you have to do is get started talking with somebody, get started making results, and then if you think about anybody that you've talked to, as soon as you talk to them for 10 minutes, you've got 50 other directions you could go. So it's not about the lack of possibilities, it's about choosing something that will connect with them, get them to talk to you, and get them to become a client. And then from there, once they're a client on that specific thing, you can spin out and escalate to whatever else they need or whatever else, you know, makes you feel happy that you want to explore and help people with.
Exactly. For a really long time, and sorry, I just keep on coming back to my own experiences because I find it so exciting, and that's how I learn from listening to
great.
Other people's stories. But you know, I spent many, many years in the realm of anger management. And it was a very interesting niche because people were petrified of it, but they could identify when their anger went off the rails. And usually when people came in, yes, it was anger that brought them in, but you know, what I know is that anger is not about anger. It's about all the other emotions that surround it.
Yep.
So you're still working with that whole emotional spectrum, but because people can relate to the anger, they're going in and typing in, how do I get rid of my anger? And you're coming up, which gives them more of a place to go. And they're going to pick someone who understands their particular anger or their particular issue over someone who's more general.
Definitely. And another aspect that's really important to add is we all have, how would I say this? At one point in time, we all had parental figures that told us how to behave. And as adults, we don't necessarily need those parental figures to tell us how to behave. We kind of already know. What we need is someone to help us discover what's inside of us and make better choices. So in your marketing, as you're talking about the anger, that's where helping them with how to make better choices and steps to take to start down the path is what draws them towards you, as opposed to telling them what they need to do, if you understand the difference.
Yes. So if I reframe that, you are not there to tell them what to do, but you are there to bring out the best they have within them and to teach them new, healthier ways of living life to their fullest.
Yeah, to give them the options that they hadn't thought about, but still allow them the adult responsibility to choose their direction and to choose to move forward, as opposed to, you know, like when we were kids and we were all just told what to do. There's a very different vibe to the adult teaching environment compared to the child teaching environment. And it's important to keep into your marketing to attract, because you're attracting adults, right?
Sometimes.
Well, true enough. But
yeah, I mean, whether you're working with kids, adolescents, or adults.
Yeah. It helps. The coaching model is that of bringing out from inside of them as opposed to lecturing at them, right?
Right. Yes, no one likes to be lectured at.
Yeah, yeah. So then the final question I had kind of ties into that a little bit, and that's the, does your stuff, does your product and your service, does it help them feel like they have inside access that their competitors lack? So this is, you know, the extra little juicy bits of just that one little bit of information that made it so much easier for that person to reach their goals when they see the majority of the people around them struggling. You know, if you can take those really strong epiphanies you get, those things that you can't believe how small they are and how much work they do, and those are amazing things to wrap your marketing around to attract people.
Yeah.
So I don't have any exact examples as I'm trying to think about that. But I know as I'm going through my own work, when I have one of those epiphanies and go, oh, and I know that other people would find that really valuable. When I turn those into opt-in offers and I put those things out, I do definitely get response and generally a few bookings, because people, it's that compelling and people want more information. And the name of the game is get them onto the phone so that you can find those motivations and those extra spots and close the deal and get them as a client if it's a good match, right? And that's another whole nother question.
Yeah, and I think, you know, within that, what that really brought up for me as well is going back to what we were discussing at the beginning of the show, that your ideal client needs you. There are so many people in so much pain in our world today. And
yep.
That's not okay.
No.
And if you have the tools or strategies or ability to help someone heal themselves, you need to get out there. You need to put it out there, because you don't know the repercussions of what that means for the rest of the world. And there's no time to lose. So just in the same way that you are looking for your ideal client is probably looking for you way harder and way more. So let them find you. Make it
exactly.
Easy for them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So are those all of our questions? Have we gone through them all?
Yes, those were the six questions. And I'm pretty confident that if you sit back and regularly ask yourself these questions, these aren't just questions that you ask yourself once and then you move forward. These are questions that I've, in one form or another, asked myself monthly for the last 3 years as I'm figuring out my business more and more. It's an illusion to think that we can start our business and bang, we're right where we want to be and doing everything we want to do and working with people we want to work with. You have to really imagine this stuff. And I say that the best place to build your business is comfortable in your bed, imagining what it is going to be. Not fantasizing. You're not doing a fantasy dream that'll never come true. You're trying to view something that's realistic, but something that is a stretch and is definitely putting yourself outside your comfort zone and is bringing real value to the world, so that when you connect with people, it's almost like they can become your best friend because you've helped them so much. You've connected to their heart so well and helped them in their life, which then just brings that right back to you. It fills your heart. Isn't that what we're here for?
Yeah, it is. Open your heart wide, because together we can heal the world. That's
exactly
what I like to say.
Yeah, and through healing others, we heal ourselves, because each person we work with challenges us and pushes us forward. We want to grow so that we can serve them properly. And that's the part that I really love, is the personal growth through every opportunity that I get to help someone else.
Yeah. You know what? For me, this week has been a really challenging week. It's been a week of immense growth and spiritual growth, and the past few weeks have just been very, very intense for me. And I know that within my own search to find answers and to find, draw on healings that I know and healings that I don't know, because I don't know everything. I think when you think you know everything, you're in trouble. But I really experienced this as I went to different healing practitioners' websites, and I'm like, no, that's not what I need. I need someone to understand my particular issue, because it's quite complex and a lot of people wouldn't understand it. So it really brought home to me as I started sometimes how far we are, from hitting our mark and hitting that target. And the more direct we are with it all, the easier it is for people to find us. Yeah. And I ended up finding someone who really niched down, and a few people who have really niched down who just spoke to me. So, so important. I can't stress that enough. We have to get ready to wrap up. The time has gone so quickly. Jill, do you have any parting words that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Oh, well, just two things. And one of them actually relates to the experience that you just told us about, where looking for your own assistance for your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just in general for everyone who's building a business. While we regularly look at the world where we can try to find we're looking through a certain lens. We're looking through it as the business owner trying to recognize opportunities and prospects. Occasionally, it's really good to turn that look around and to think of ourselves as the consumer instead of the provider, and look at our own material as if we had never seen it before, as if we didn't know ourselves, and look at it and pay attention to the emotions that come up as a result of what is there. And also look at your competitors or look at other people that inspire you, especially, and recognize the emotions that they create in their content. And then take that knowledge back to what you're trying to create.
Right.
And as part of that is the workbook, which you can go to my website, jilllappy.com/5Q5 questions. And you can opt in there and download the workbook that will ask these questions to you again so that you can brainstorm a little bit and try and think about it from that consumer perspective. If you had this pain, what would talk to you and recognize the things that compel you and put those into your materials?
Very well said, Jill. Very well said. I think, you know, when you have a business and you have a practice, your own healing journey plays just as much importance in the work that you do than the healing journeys you take other people on. Running a business and a private practice is the biggest self-opening journey that you can ever be on, because you have to look at yourself and your business, and you are one. So please take care of yourself. Get your own help whenever you can, and seek out mentors and people that can help you move forward so you don't experience the overwhelm. I want to thank Jill. Thanks so much for coming on. Again, you can get her questionnaires and worksheets at jilllampy, jilllampi.com/5Q, the number 5, the letter Q. If you're looking for me, you can reach me at brainhealthyclinic.com. Thanks so much, Jill. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see you on the next episode of Brain Healthy.
Thank you very much.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.